All right. So Bill asked me this week if I would kind of share the father that I had. And if you knew my dad, you'd know that I fell far from the tree. My dad was a special guy. I lost my dad when I was 18. Growing up, my dad was a children's pastor. He was a very special man in my life. And I can remember around that time losing my dad, thinking to myself, you know, how am I gonna go on to make wise choices without a dad? And I didn't know that was really a prayer, but God answered that prayer, and He brought several wonderful men into my life. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention a couple of those this morning. One, a year later, after my dad's death, I got married into a wonderful family, the Bass family. And Rodney Bass has been very much a father to me. I've always looked up to him. He started a business from nothing along with Susan. His work ethic is amazing. He has a servant's heart. I've never asked for anything that he wouldn't bend over backwards to help me with. He's helped me move multiple times. He's done all kinds of things to help anyone in our family. But more importantly, in 2014, through some events in my life, it came out that really I had failed his daughter and failed our family. And he was so forgiving. And not only was he forgiving, but he worked for redemption for me and for healing of my marriage. And if Rodney hadn't have backed me up and encouraged his daughter to really take a second look and give me a second chance, I don't know that we would still be married. And so he made a huge difference in that time in my life. And then secondly, I want to mention Bill. I mean, there's been a lot of wonderful men in this congregation who have fathered me. But I would say Bill, I call him my spiritual father, because in 2014, when my life was falling apart because of my own sin, Bill, as I'm leaving one Sunday morning, basically just asked me if I'd go to breakfast with him. And I desperately needed to share the burden of guilt that was in my heart with somebody. And I thought, you know, I'll give Bill a try, thinking he's probably going to run away screaming and hollering when I lay all this on him. But he didn't. He leaned in with love. He didn't see me for the sin in my life, the ways that I had destroyed pretty much everything that I cared about, but he saw me for what Jesus Christ could do in my life if I'd give him a chance. And so over the next couple of weeks, he led me to the Lord. And, God used him to help save my life. And so obviously I'd be remiss not to say thank you for that. But my dad, Paul Stanley Dittman, he was a special guy. When he came to the Lord, he was actually writing a paper to disprove that God was real. And through the process of examining the Word, he realized that there was more historical evidence for God being real than pretty much anything else that's ever happened to mankind. And so out of that came a tremendous faith. And there's really three primary things that I learned from my dad growing up. The first thing was faith. When he came to the Lord, he fully committed to God. And the Lord laid on his heart to become a children's pastor. And so I grew up seeing my dad completely and totally devoted to God. The other interesting thing about my dad was when I was 1 year old, he was diagnosed with severe heart failure. He had a congenital heart defect that hadn't been identified when he went to Vietnam and was exposed to Agent Orange. It basically destroyed his heart. And when he had the flu, he kind of succumbed to that. And I can remember multiple times, but my mom telling me the story, and when I was 1 year old, he's in the hospital. The doctors gave him 6 months to live, at best, probably. And I saw my dad raised from his deathbed multiple times throughout my life growing up. And so, you know, we lived on the edge of the supernatural. He At that time, when he was first diagnosed, he was the director of a child evangelism fellowship here in Chattanooga. And, you know, he had such a passion for kids. Unfortunately, he wouldn't be able to do that just because of his physical constraints. But that didn't deter him at all. He started his own not-for-profit Good News for Little People that goes on today. And we have missionaries that go out all over the country doing vacation Bible schools, Bible camps, and helping start Sunday schools and children's programs. And so that work goes on. But my dad, you know, he did that in spite of really not having finances. We were never wealthy. My dad would do, for any church in the country that simply asked for him to come for a week and teach Bible camp or do VBS or help start a Sunday school, he never asked about money, not once. He just trusted the Lord. And God would meet us along the way. You know, his theory was that, you know, faith would make a way. And so I saw that growing up again and again and again. I think of his unconditional love. My dad was in the process of dying for 18 years, and that's a horrible way to die. He was basically suffocating constantly, and so he was always in pain. Most people would have given into that very early on in the process, but my dad wanted to serve the Lord desperately, and he also wanted to be part of his kids' lives, and so he fought to maintain that. And so I can remember at one point, right before his heart transplant in 1988, that summer, you know, he was committed to do these camps, but he was so sick. His heart efficiency was around 8%. And so I can remember he would go back to his room and he'd sleep or rest about 22 hours a day. And we'd come in and pray over him. Essentially, God would raise him up, and he would do the morning and the evening ministry. And I just learned such perseverance through that. My dad, he was a fighter. And there was nothing that was going to stop him from serving the Lord, period. On top of that, you know, that next school year, he was in such bad shape that essentially he was waiting for a heart transplant. He couldn't go forward without that. He was within hours of death, basically. And so I can remember I camped out in the hospital parking lot in Richmond, Virginia, waiting for a heart, praying for my dad to have a heart. We were there for a couple of months. And but I can remember when my dad did get that heart, and just the fact that he was given a new chance at life. And so my dad was blessed with 7 more years to serve the Lord and to love and be part of his family's life. And what a gift that was. But throughout his life, I saw that my dad was loving. He was sacrificially loving. I can remember when I was very young, he would take us to daycare centers. And I can remember my dad leading daycare centers. And these little kids loved him. A lot of times he was probably more a father figure in their life than their real parents, because, you know, basically they didn't see him as often. And so I can remember my dad, at the end of every session, anybody who needed a hug could come up and get a hug. And I can remember my dad being mobbed by all the kids that would want to come up and get a hug at the end of these sessions. And it just put just thought in my mind to see that again and again. I can remember growing up, pretty much everywhere we would go, there would be somebody that would walk up and basically thank my dad for the way that he had introduced them to Jesus Christ. And, you know, talk about legacy. My dad left a legacy. And I don't know, I just, you know, God is so good. And, you know, for those of us that maybe we didn't have a great relationship with our dad, I was blessed beyond measure, obviously. But just know that you have a wonderful Heavenly Father who cares for you. And if you ask for it, He will bring godly fathers into your life. It doesn't have to be your biological father, but there is someone out there that will love you and encourage you and help you find the relationship with Jesus Christ that you need, so that you can find that He is the best father there ever was. And, you know, God is good. I'm just thankful for that.